everybody. It's Shahrzad and Susan.
Hello, I'm here. I'm here, guys. Wow.
I'm so excited that you're here.
I am too.
How you doing, Susan? You know, you have a boy.
I have a boy.
And now you have a girl. Do you feel like a different
set of responsibility, like raising
a girl versus a boy?
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, you feel responsibility, period, right? When you get kids,
because
you feel like suddenly everything could crash on you and the world is falling, the sky is falling, and you're just scared of everything. But when you have a little girl, you have this realization that you're just worried about everything for your little girl. You think about all the stuff that you went through. I think about being in high school, dealing with boys, trying to overcome stuff, trying to be, you know, just confident and not have bad self-esteem and everything. I think about all of that now. And it happened the minute I found out I had a girl in my stomach.
Yeah.
And then I had her and I realized even more so how important that is. But, you know, I'm starting to realize just everything about, you know, I'm starting to realize I'm a role model, not just for my little girl, but for my little boy as well. I heard him say, "Oh, thit," the other day. So he's saying, "Oh, shit," now. Yeah. And I realize I got to watch what I say. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'm realizing how much is on my shoulders having not just a girl who, by the way, when you have a girl, you know, they always say with a boy that you only have to worry about one penis.
Right.
But with a girl, you have to worry about everyone else's penis.
Ooh, yep.
And I'm dealing with that already. I'm thinking about this. She's not thinking about it. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I know.
There's just so much.
I know. It's, you know, I think a lot about the language that I use around my kids, because just the other day, whether I'm having, you know, obviously I have two boys, but I am a very proud girl aunt. So I will be spending lots of time with little girls. And I think about just the language my mom used around me, just whether she was complaining about her body or her weight. And she always looked so beautiful. And then I think about the language I use around my kids. And just the other day, I did something wrong and I was like, "God, I'm such an idiot." And that's something that I say. I'm just, my humor in general is self-deprecating. I'm kind of usually one to be like, "I'll call myself an idiot before anybody else can call me an idiot." And then I heard my 5-year-old boy say, "I'm such an idiot," when he made a mistake. And I was like, damn.
Ouch.
That like hurts my soul in a way that like nothing else does, is when my sweet, smart, beautiful, like, you know, I feel like my kids, sometimes I look at them, I'm like, "You are the most perfect creation." And I think, I hope you really don't think you're an idiot.
No.
And this conversation of self-love, regardless of boy or girl, like, I really think has a lot to do with the language that we use around our kids. And I noticed, you know, I wouldn't have noticed this until he repeated back exactly what I said and how I said it. He made a mistake. He called himself an idiot. I felt like a piece of shit. I was like, damn, I got to watch what I say.
And now he's
going
to start calling himself a piece of shit.
I know. See, and you know, I have this, like, just my personality type is pretty unfiltered. If you know me in real life, you know, I always say what's on my mind. I curse a lot. I'm just, it's who I am. I don't like to be filtered. And I've had to filter myself as a mom. I have to stop saying fuck all the time, because when your kid yells fuck at the playground and all the moms and parents look at you and they're like, "Who's the asshole parent?"
No,
here?
No, you just say, like, he's saying truck. It's how he pronounces truck.
Oh, well, now my kids are very clear with their enunciation now. There's ain't no denying what he's saying.
Yep.
But it's just interesting to have to try and filter myself.
No, 100%.
But I do. But I think language is important.
Language is important. How you present yourself. I think about this all the time. I'm in the beauty industry.
Right.
This is an industry that has preyed on people by making them feel bad and making them feel like they have to look a different way.
Right.
And I'm now starting to understand the gravity of that, because I have children and that impacts them. What they see mom do, what they see dad do, you know, sometimes our reaction to something that happens is, you know, we want to freak out on our children. And I take a step back and I'm like, if I tell him I'm mad at him because he did something out of curiosity or something, what is that going to do? Is it going to stunt my child from wanting to be more curious?
Yep.
Is it going to stop my baby girl from wanting to, you know, be strong and opinionated and say what's on her mind? So I think about these things all the time. But it's funny you ask this.
Yes. And I brought this up today, Susan, because you guys, we have such special guests with us today. We have Teddy and Sonia. They are founders of the nonprofit Girl Powerful. They are real sisters in real life, in the flesh. And they are basically creating this movement of self-love with young females in particular in Los Angeles, which is a tricky city to grow up in. I imagine if you are a young female.
Especially when the movie that makes you think about Los Angeles is Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah. True.
Clueless.
Yeah. Clueless. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. And thank you for everything that you guys do to empower young females. I would love to hear in your guys' own words what your nonprofit is really all about.
All right. Well, thanks for having us. Mm-hmm. This is Sonia, and we created Girl Powerful because we wanted girls to be able to have the tools to really celebrate their abilities and to manage their emotions and to really be in tune with their body. And by the end of our program, so we have our program, Girl Powerful. It's all based on social and emotional learning. And after the end of either doing our Girl Powerful journal or taking our 10-week course in LA, we want the girls to be really proud of who they are. And it's really simple. So it's like building self-esteem and celebrating your strengths and just being like, I'm an awesome person and I'm a badass.
Yep.
Yeah, you know? Girls Powerful is that safe place to do that. I don't think anyone has that opportunity growing up. We're just like thrown on the hamster wheel with our parents, whatever they're doing or like whatever they want us to be because they didn't accomplish that. So Girl Powerful is a safe place after school, 1 hour class. That the girl can be themselves. Mm. And that's what a mentor is. That's what we call ourselves. We're mentors for the girls. And they get to just shine and be who they are. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, we love their parents and we love the schools and we love the teachers and what they're doing. But they also have, like, really strict guidelines throughout the school day. And, like, our curriculum's, like, has a curriculum, but it's loose. You know what I mean? Like, if someone isn't feeling good that day, we talk about that, and mm-hmm. it's really kind of more human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What inspired you guys to start this? Did you go through some shit when you were younger?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Like any girl, right?
Well, yeah, any person.
Yeah. So we did, and we grew up in after-school programs, and they just were kind of lame, right? And they're still kind of lame. They, you know, they're like, here's a cup of Cheerios, have a nice afternoon. And you're like, wait, what? Like, what right. about, like, these 3 hours are so crucial for my development. Like, can we talk about something that matters?
Mm-hmm.
So that's us. We were there. We were there from 3 to 6. Maybe mm-hmm. the last one picked up because we grew up with a single mom because she was working. And we just know we deserve better. And the girls now deserve better. And now things are even more complicated. So we just want to kind of combat social media and things that they're seeing constantly thrown in their faces with body image and what you mentioned, beauty standards, which has always been there, but you could kind of avoid it a little more.
True.
Now it's just like bing, bing, bing everywhere. And
Teddy and I had very different, like we were in the same house, but we had very different experiences.
True. What do you mean?
Yeah. So like Teddy, I don't know, the first child, she kind of took care of me. So she was just like strong and independent and I was the pleaser. So I wanted to please my mom. I wanted to like clean the house for her. Like, you know, like I wanted to do.
I hope my daughter will grow up like that.
Well, I know, but it's like I didn't want to ever rock the boat or I didn't want to have like feelings or like her to know I was angry, even though I was like super angry inside.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's where it's like when I was growing and into my 20s and getting a job, like I had no idea how to manage my emotions or just let myself feel it. I wanted to suppress it, you know, and be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of women still go through that and girls, you know, are growing up just trying to be perfect.
Yep.
And so it's
there's
just
a lot
like
of pressure to be perfect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We always say shoot for a B.
I know.
I think it's real though. And I'm not a parent yet, but it's like, hey, what if we didn't like put all this pressure on our kids?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
or it's like we lead by example, which you're kind of talking about, like not call yourself an idiot and like really practice positive rituals every day through the household with, you know, every member of the family.
Yep.
Yeah.
I tell my babies all the time how beautiful they are. Even my little boy, I tell him how beautiful he is. You are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
So Sharzad,
yes.
How's that new house of yours?
Oh my God, you know, I love it so much. I have this massive kitchen island that's white and I'm always cooking and dancing around my kitchen. But with that means I am cleaning all the time. And you guys, I love Clean Cult. It is my new favorite cleaning brand. They have coconut-based formulas that are non-toxic, cleaners that actually clean. I personally think it smells amazing. And the packaging in general just looks like it fits into my like nice new modern kitchen. It makes me want to clean more.
I like that. I love stuff like that. You know, my favorite part about Clean Cult is that they have the packaging that is reusable, so it's sustainable. And that's been one of my New Year's goals this year, was to really focus on sustainability with the beauty industry especially. And I feel like we're tossing so much packaging and stuff, and I love that you can refill all of their products. I actually got the refills recently, and they're huge refills. So it's not even just one time that you're refilling more than once. And you know, I have to say, I absolutely love the dryer balls. So you know how you're constantly using like the dryer sheets to make sure your clothing is nice and soft? I love that the dryer balls are reusable, like 1,000 times reusable.
That's amazing.
And then you're not wasting all that product. And that's my biggest thing with Clean Cult, is that you're not wasting a ton of product. Clean Cult's great because they put all of their refills in milk cartons. Isn't that interesting?
And I love the way it looks. It looks so cute. And you guys, Clean Cult is something that is safe around your kids or your pets because all of the ingredients are non-toxic coconut-based.
You love that kind of stuff,
I too. Love that kind of stuff. And I have to say, just one more time, I really, really, really love the way it smells. It smells so fresh. And Michael even commented and was like, ooh, what's that smell?
He
literally said, did you get a new perfume?
No, he didn't. That's hilarious. Well, you guys, you can get a customized starter kit from Clean Cult, and it's adjustable paper-based refill delivery system that fits the needs of your home and your lifestyle.
Get started with Clean Cult right now. Go to cleancult.com/fam for 25% off your first kit, but only until May 30th. Get 25% off now through May 30th at cleancult.com/fam. That's cleancult.com/fam.
What are some stats with young females, young girls right now? Like, I know that suicide rates are increasing. Mm-hmm. I know that people are more depressed and more anxious than ever before. I don't know if it's because we have access to so many more numbers now, or if the
social media too, right?
Stats are changing. Yeah. I personally believe social media has a huge impact on our self-esteem, whether we realize it or not. What you're seeing, what the images that you're scrolling through constantly, are going to affect you. But I'm curious as to like, what are the young girls dealing with? What are the stats today?
Well, our state is in a mental health crisis, and our country is too. And the biggest, I think, most staggering statistic that we just came across last year is suicide is the second leading cause of death in young girls after motor vehicle.
Car accidents.
Yeah, accidents.
Wow.
So it's like suicide. Yeah. And then it's like third for boys, but mm-hmm. it's like so high up there for men and women. And then girls, their self-esteem is starting to decrease by the age of 8.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's why
even think about it.
Right. We started working with girls in the tweens in the confidence gap. So their age is 8 to 14. And that's when you see their self-esteem decline, mm-hmm. and they don't get it back unless you have a program, or unless a mom's in the home doing work, or they have a mentor, you know, to like keep, you know,
or
being their role model.
Team. Yeah. That's also when girls stop playing sports.
Is 8?
What?
Yeah, 8 to 10.
Why?
I think your body's changing. You have different pressures on you.
You're more self-aware.
Do you guys remember?
Or they're like, that's a boy thing, right?
Yeah.
I want to put a cute dress on and be the sexy
Interesting.
Girl.
Interesting.
Like, you find your role in your class, and then you go for it.
I remember being 12 and never taking off my jacket.
Yeah.
Did you guys go through that?
Like that
when I had mosquito bites? I was like, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
What is this? I'm going to wear a jacket.
I always tied something around my waist because I had a big butt. Still do, but thank God, like, that kind of became cool. I use the word kind of.
I took my jacket and a lot of other clothes off way earlier than I was supposed to, guys. I was that girl. Yes, absolutely. Yep. When I was 12, I truly looked 18.
Yeah.
And I lied about my age.
So
I told
she was that girl,
was
right? Yeah. I remember being the 12-year-old looking at the other 12-year-old who looked like she was 18 and wishing I had boobs. I remember I put on a training bra and then my dad gave me shit about it. He's like, when did you start wearing a bra?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's the self-awareness shows up at 8, 9, 10. And then we're comparing in the classroom, but then also on our phones.
Yeah.
Right. Not only like bodies, but like what people have, what their houses and vacations mm-hmm. look like,
all their experiences
and then what you definitely don't have.
Right.
And that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's where I think loneliness, depression, isolation, anxiety is mm-hmm. showing up for girls. And I think it's about like 49% of girls are dealing with or clinical depression.
That's
which is not how it was for millennials. Like, we're millennials.
Yeah.
We didn't have the phone yet.
Susan and I are on the cusp, but technically yeah. still millennial. 1993,
we also played
baby.
Oregon Trail.
Oh, I played Oregon Trail.
Oh, yeah, so did we.
Yeah.
But I think what makes us on the cusp is that we didn't have social media in college.
Exactly. That yeah, there, right. There's like different. A five-year gap. I can't remember
it's
what
like four
the
or 5 years, yeah.
term is for us who didn't have social media in college.
Mm-hmm. We're cool, guys.
See, I actually talk about this a lot, that I'm so happy that I personally didn't have access to social media because I was a wild party girl starting at a very young age that would have gotten myself into trouble, that could have potentially had a really awful photo of me taken doing something that would have been extremely embarrassing. And then it would have been all over the internet. And I grew up with a strict Iranian father where dating wasn't even allowed, let alone like all the shit I was doing. Sorry, Bubba June. But I mean, I think about that. But do you think that the low self-esteem is all social media, or do you think there's other stuff going on? Like, what's your take? You guys are, you know, sort of in it every day.
Yeah, whereas you're talking to the girls.
I'm not around young girls. Like, I don't know what that is like to have not just, you know, access to social media, but your parents are on social media. Yeah. Everybody you know is on social media. Like, it's just all about the internet. Like, is there a direct correlation, or is there other stuff going on? Like, what are you guys seeing every day?
I mean, obviously, low self-esteem has been around forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's
I
true.
Had mm-hmm. low self-esteem, mm-hmm. and I, like, talk about it all the time. It's like, I think it's, for me personally, it's because we had a single mom, and, like, our dad just, like, dipped. Mm. And so I grew up, he's such a dick.
He dipped, and he's a
he
dick.
He dipped, and he's yeah. a dick, and I felt really unwanted. And so it was, like, my attention was, like, on feeling unwanted versus all the love my mom gave me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you were such a pleaser. You
yeah, said, and I want to just make her happy. So, I mean, yeah, I know there's like family problems, but then there's also like social media, which magnifies things.
Yeah. When I was 14 years old, I was kind of like the outcast at school. And I always think about this because had social media been around, I think I might have been that person that tried to kill myself, because I already had those thoughts my freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
I was the only Asian girl, and I'm only half. I was the only Asian mm-hmm. girl in my school. And I obviously was just like dying for anybody to pay attention to mm-hmm. me. And so when some of the older guys started paying attention to me, I got into that. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, this is cool. I remember ditching school one day, and I went to my friend's house with these two older guys, smoked some pot with mm-hmm. them, and then I lost my virginity that day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really my choice. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird line mm-hmm. of what that was, because I was there willingly, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like a weird, weird place to be. I would have been fine with that situation and my choices, except the next day at school, everybody knew about it.
Wow.
And I was already an outcast. And had everybody, I mean, the way everybody just bullied me for like the next couple of months.
Yeah.
And I basically lied. I was like, no, I didn't do that. He's a liar, blah, blah, blah. And that's how I got away with it. But I can only imagine what my life would have been like had they been on social media, also hammering me all day,
right.
all night.
Or if there was a picture of you from that night.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine that. Nobody had phones on their cameras at the time.
Yeah.
Well, so that did happen to us in college.
Oh, wow.
Picture showed up. The dean printed it off the internet or the internet, Facebook, and
that
then
someone though had sent her
the
dean
of one of you guys
of college. Both us, we got in trouble.
We partied,
we liked it.
Same. I mean,
we were like stuffing feelings and like self-medicating with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And then the Midwest, there wasn't really weed or other pills. Like now it's like the meth capital of the world, but we weren't into meth. Thank God. We were just into vodka. So we were nuts a little bit and we didn't know what to do. It was our freedom we'd never had before.
Right. And your mom's working.
Yeah,
and so
we didn't know anything about anything. So we show up to college, we start drinking a lot, and then Facebook shows up. And something called Juicy Campus, which is like bully central.
They had like they had the dirty in San Diego and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, and it was like,
not part of any of that. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I know a lot of people that were.
So even like we didn't know what to do with that kind of stuff then. No one talks about that or gives you the tools. Like now if someone was mean to me on Instagram, I'd probably block them.
Right.
Not probably. I blocked two people last week.
Good.
You know what I mean? And like, I don't care.
Yeah.
But like kids, they'd care.
Yeah,
like,
it's their whole world.
Yeah, their whole world. And then, like, their brains aren't developed. They don't understand that that's just some asshole being, like, you know, projecting or being jealous or all these other things that why people are mean and bullies, right? They don't feel good about themselves.
Yeah. Totally.
Absolutely.
But a little, but an 8-year-old or 9-year-old girl like wouldn't necessarily have the thought to say, oh, that person's mean to me because their life at home sucks. Like kids just don't think that way.
No, exactly. No, I was 12 and I couldn't deal with it mentally. Yeah. I remember my dad being like, why is my daughter coming home from school, going into her room and crying the whole rest of the day?
That makes me so sad. You know, life without Susan makes me sick to think about.
Me too. I really like myself now. Yeah.
Good.
But it took a lot, you know?
So
it took
much
a lot
work.
Of, yeah, it was a journey.
Yeah.
And so, it still is.
It still is.
Yeah. I don't think there ever is an end game with self-love and positive self-talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's forever. Because you can have slumpy days. Like, you even were like, how are you? And I'm like, well, it's fine.
Yeah.
And we always have bad days, too.
Yeah.
But it's, like, to get over it and keep, like, focusing on the good stuff and gratitude. I think that's the biggest thing you can teach your family is gratitude lists and how to create them daily around the dinner table. It's something to talk about instead of just, like, how was your day?
Yeah,
no one wants to answer their mom when you say, how was your day?
I know.
I don't want to answer that to anybody.
Yeah.
It's a weird
question. I asked you that. I was like, how are you? She's like, I'm good. I'm
what
like, no.
You were like, what are you grateful for? I would have probably said something totally different. Wait, and it would have helped me leave.
That's a really good shift.
What are you grateful for? I want to know.
I mean, I'm grateful. I'm always grateful for my health and my body, even though it's not always perfect. It's like I wake up and I think that's a really big deal.
Yep.
And right now we're having a lot of victories in business and I feel that. Like really good. And then I'm actually in yoga teacher training and I'm really proud of myself for committing to something and being the student. And that's really hard for me. I've always been a teacher and a leader and the oldest kid and blah, blah, blah. And so now I have to like sit down and shut up. And I think it's a really, it's like showing me a lot of old patterns and I'm trying to break them.
Nice.
I love that.
What are you grateful for?
I am grateful for, well, my health. Always. I'm grateful for my body. I'm grateful for where I live.
California.
Woo! I think it's amazing to be around like-minded people and have a whole support system.
Yep, absolutely. So. What are you grateful for, Sharzad?
Guys, I work on my gratitude every day. Mm-hmm. Susan knows this. I talk about this a lot. Yeah. So I am grateful for so many things. I mean, I'll start with the obvious. Doing this podcast and having these conversations.
It's really cool.
So therapeutic for me. And I feel like I've had so much to say. And this just gives me an opportunity to vent and chat and talk and hopefully give some people the opportunity to feel connected to us through our stories. I am grateful for, obviously, my health. You know, I talk about my mom a lot, and I talk about, you know, watching her body deteriorate made me so grateful for everything that I have in, you know, my physical body. Like, even if I'm a little frustrated that maybe my pants don't fit or I'm working hard, but I still have a flabby stomach, I can run, I can dance, I can move, I can play with my kids, I can crawl on the floor. And I think when you watch somebody, like, truly deteriorate in front of you, if you don't wake up with gratitude for everything you have, then you need to shift your life. Like, you need to change your perspective, because if you can do the most simple things, like get out of bed without issues and jump and pick up your kids and like sing really loudly when a kick-ass song comes on and do the simple things, then you are living a good life. Yeah. And I think it's so important to just remember those little things on hard days. So I am grateful for so much. I'm so grateful for Susan. She knows I love her so much.
I love you. I'm so grateful for you. It's actually, you know, when people always ask me, how do I deal with trolls online? And I always tell them that I just think about how grateful I am for the life I have. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I feel bad for those people.
Yep.
I agree
because
with that.
I feel like I have so much. And one of my friends, it was this like mind blown kind of moment when she was like, you know, I read somewhere that the key to happiness is gratitude. Mm-hmm. And it was like a decade ago that a friend told me that. Mm-hmm. And ever since she said that to me, I have been super happy because I wake up every single day very, very grateful for all the things that I have. And I think just knowing that I worked really hard to get the things I have and maintain those things, and nothing is bad at all. Nothing could ever be as bad as anything in the past. You know what I mean? And so I always think about gratitude and how grateful I am. And I think that's really, like you guys said, it's the key. Sharzad, have you tried your High Smile teeth whitening kit yet?
Well, I'm happy that you asked, and hopefully you've noticed teeth are looking so white. You know that my sister's wedding is coming up, and it's going to be a very fun day for me and my family. I'm going to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time, and I'm all about self-care, and part of that is taking care of my teeth. I want them to look great. I want the photos to just really pop. I love High Smile Teeth Whitening Kit because it's 10 minutes per application. And you know, you guys, you know, I am sensitive from my head to my toes and even my teeth. I was trying to make it rhyme. And this doesn't hurt my teeth. I've had teeth whitening before where there's the like tingles and the pain and I'm like, ugh,
oh, it's like the wind blows and then your teeth just go ow.
But you guys, this one is not like that. And I'm super sensitive and it's great for even little old me.
Yeah, little old you. And you know what I love? I love that it's just a straightforward kit. You don't have to, you know, do that whole thing where you make the trays fit your teeth perfectly. They're just nice and easy to use. You fill it with gel. It's a really easy little applicator and then you pop it in your mouth, 10 minutes and you are done.
As part of our partnership, High Smile is offering our listeners 20% off all the products at checkout if you apply the code FAM20. That's FAM20, and it's for a limited time. Enjoy. So I would imagine that gratitude is something that you guys teach the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such an important thing. And I know you guys have a journal, and I want to talk about that journal because I really want anybody who's listening to talk about, here you go. I
really books everywhere.
I want people who are listening to have like some really good takeaways on how we can all be better with the language we use, with what we post on social media, with how we just conduct ourselves to be good people, to live a life with gratitude, to focus on the present, to appreciate everything that we've been through to get us where we are, to find joy in the little things. And I love that you guys are starting so young with girls, because those stats that you share that almost half of young girls are depressed makes me sick to my stomach.
And that they stopped sports. I always felt like sports were the thing that got our kids
because of Kobe.
Yeah.
He was the only person to meet with the WNBA to talk about women in sports. I wasn't even a Kobe fan, but I thought that was really cool that he showed up for women and his daughter, essentially. Yeah. And then I saw that stat and I was like, oh, damn, why do you have to go?
I know.
He could have helped.
Such a bummer. Well, you guys are doing so much, though, and I think it's really cool that you're doing a lot. I know you're not Kobe.
I know. I was already going to cry when we started talking about gratitude, and then you bring up Kobe, so it's like, whew.
Yeah, but let's talk about like cool things that no matter what, if you are just a human walking through Earth, you can do, but especially if you're raising kids and especially if you're raising a girl.
Well, before you get started, though, I think it's important to remember also, I love that you guys are focusing on girls. I think boys are really having a hard time now. I mean, and I know boohoo, like men, like all the hardships they've had to deal with. But I do find that younger men, even just like in their early 20s and as they get even younger, they're having a really hard time finding their purpose in life now because women are having such a empowering movement in the world right now. And I feel like now guys are like, well, we want to support you, but what happens to us, right? And so I think it's important to talk about how this fits into everyone's life, right?
Definitely.
Into boys'
lives
and women's lives.
All these tools are for everyone.
Yeah.
There's no gender on this book, honestly. It says girl on it, but if you look on the inside, there's really nothing about gender.
Just the artwork is the art geared
and
towards girls.
The truth is like men have had their time to shine and things have been easier. And I do think I'm a teacher. You have a son. You have a son?
I have two.
Yeah, and husbands and family and friends, and there's a guy in the room right now. And we're all in this together.
Right.
But until women actually know how to harness their power, and we are powerful, we have like 9 trains of thought when a guy can only do 1, where our brains are so different and complex, and our bodies are too. So there's really no comparing there either. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's like a complicated part of this conversation.
Yeah.
And just like looking at history, it's like, I honor like what 20-year-old men are thinking and feeling with the sisterhood arising, but hey, man, it's time.
Yeah.
And you're invited to the table and please be my friend and please sit here and cheer us on and be my boyfriend and love me and do all the things that like men haven't done in the past. And don't rape people. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we can talk about
it. But it's so serious. But you're totally right. Yeah, like, you said that perfectly.
Yeah. It's about everybody. And until women have the time, like we're in a movement, but it's like we're not anywhere where we're gonna be.
Right.
We're in a different time of like the universe and like everything's shifting.
Right.
So until men just kind of like let us go forward, then we'll meet you in 10 or 15 years, maybe. And like, then we can just be partners, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In like a unified humanity.
Yeah. Yep. I do agree with you, though, that the male brain and the female brain are so different.
Oh,
so, there's some different language there. But let's talk about your journal and let's talk about some cool like hands-on things that we can do. So I see if you want to tell me about things that like really stand out with this.
Let's go back to what you said in the intro.
Okay.
Like, I'm an idiot.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
So that's negative self-talk.
Right.
And we do something called changing negative self-talk into positive self-talk. So what could you have said in that moment to be like still you, authentic and real? Instead of saying, I'm an idiot, you could have said, oh, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You know, or just like, it doesn't have to be like, I'm a rock star all the time. But you're like, oh, I'm like, I'm easing into this.
So, mommy made a fucking mistake.
No, that's not the point.
Mommy's fucking learning all the time. No, I know. Mommy's not a fucking idiot.
Mommy needs to pay more attention.
That's mom shaming.
No, it's true. I joke, but my mom used to say that.
Yeah.
Like, she used to be sort of in a funny but like self-deprecating way. Mm-hmm. And then I do it. And then I saw my son do it. And yeah. I was like, damn it. Like,
yeah, we do the same. Our grandma calls herself like a dragon lady. She's like, I'm an ugly dragon lady. Yeah. And like all this crazy stuff. And like her ships are battleships. But like we say it being like, I'm a dragon lady. Yeah. And like that's not attractive. But
we
I don't know. We are
more aware. And
yeah.
I think once you have a child now, we're like, oh, it's funny. But it's also like there could be some negative consequences.
Well, they mirror your...
We see that when the moms drop off their daughter.
Oh,
first of all, it's like the moms need the work just as much as the girls.
So
and it's
true.
Like, it's great that they're taking that step to drop their daughter off with us and like have them participate in a program. But it's like, I hope the daughter's coming home more confident so it like kind of registers with the mom. You know, because we see a lot of repeated like mirrored actions.
Yeah.
And
well, that's
self-talk.
What the book's for. So there's about 12 exercises in there that a parent could buy the book and do it with their daughter. Like, we facilitate the groups a lot, but there's only two of us, and the world needs healing. So buy the book, do it with your daughter.
Yeah.
And, like, be the leader and be vulnerable at the table with your 10-year-old, and they're going to see a human. I think that's the thing, too. Kids don't know that their parents are humans.
Yeah.
So they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, what is she doing messing up?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. She's my mom.
Self-love. Like, I don't ever think I ever heard my mom say one like nice things about herself.
No.
You know what I mean? She was always nice and loving to me, but she wasn't saying like, I'm confident or I'm smart, you know,
or
any of the things.
Or doing anything positive.
That's true.
That's true.
I
want to cry.
I think anyone listening, just like be aware of like what you're role modeling in your own home, because you have so much power there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And being a mom is so special. And it's just like, we're all going to cry.
I'm going to suck it in.
It's true.
I have one good thing that even today when we were in yoga class earlier and the instructor was talking about how when animals get in like fight or flight mode, or they get anxious or scared when they're, you know, in nature, they shake it off. And it's like humans have been conditioned, or like we just stay in this state of anxiety or like frustration, or like we don't shake it off.
And we store it in our DNA.
And so one of the things that we do with the girls, it's the very first exercise, it's called the brain dump. So we categorize like at home, at school, like body image, all the stuff,
friends.
And they can do a dump, and it's kind of like shaking it off. Mm. You know, it's like just let it all out, dump it, and leave it there.
Well, give me an example.
So school, positive. Yeah. Jennifer sat by me today at lunch, and it felt really good because I like her.
Yeah, we laughed a lot.
Yeah, negative. I didn't study for my math test, and I'm a fucking loser.
Yeah,
right. You know.
And so they drop it.
And so you just drop it, and you're like, next time I'll try better.
Yeah.
But or we've seen really real stuff on those sheets, and it's very personal what they actually open up to.
Mm-hmm.
Pen to paper, like journaling is so special because like
if
anyone read mine, they'd probably put me in a straitjacket. Right?
Same,
like you don't want anyone. It's a very cool thing that like people.
It's like the truth.
Yeah, but people like honor someone's journal. Like you would never open up someone's journal and read it unless you're a sicko.
Yeah.
And that is one thing about humans that I think is really interesting.
Yep.
Like a diary. No, I'm not going to open that. Anyway, back to brain dumping though. So you could do body image like, oh, I felt really strong at soccer today. Or yeah, my calves are fat and I need to do X, Y, and Z because that's what they're writing. Yeah. But then you're aware of your thoughts because you're seeing them and you're like, you're honoring them even if they're negative because that's part of the brain is a negative mind. Mm-hmm. You can't ignore it, right? We're never going to be perfect. And then maybe in 10 weeks when you're still doing this brain dumping, like the list of negatives gets shorter.
Yep.
And there's more positives because that feels better.
So Sherzad,
yes, Susan,
I am not pregnant or breastfeeding anymore, which means that I can now try Hemp Fusion, which is a CBD product.
I'm so proud of you. Good job, Susan. You guys have probably heard us talk about the potential benefits of CBD. And if you are considering using a CBD product, just know that obviously not all of them are created equal. Unlike other CBD brands, Hemp Fusion is going to offer omegas plus terpenes plus other natural ingredients to help you feel 100%.
The thing that really caught my attention with Hemp Fusion is that it helps with stress and sleep and energy. And you know, as a tired mom, these are the things that you really, really need help with.
100%. You guys, everything that Hemp Fusion does adds up to a better product, and that adds up to a better day for you. And as a tired mama, who doesn't want a better day?
It's available both online and at natural product retailers near you, and it's shipped anywhere in the U.S.
We have a promo code for you guys. You can use the code FAM, F-A-M, for 20% off your first order and free shipping at hempfusion.com. That's promo code FAM. Get Hemp Fusion shipped anywhere in the U.S. And a quick note, pregnant and or nursing women should not use CBD products.
Have you ever gone back and read your old journals and saw like a place that like reread where you were like 2 or 3 years ago and thought, God, I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. Yeah. I'm so over that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it makes you realize how far you've come.
Yeah, so when people actually say, like, it'll be okay, like, you know, time heals all wounds, it kind of is true.
Yeah.
But you don't understand that. Like, absolutely. As a kid or a teenager, you're like, oh, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this breakup hurts. Or I didn't make cheerleading, or I didn't make this. And it hurts.
Yeah.
Well, I think you brought up some good points, though, that, like, your negative thoughts aren't going to go away. Like, it is normal to have negative thoughts. It's what we do with them and how we let them affect our self-esteem and our life. That's a big takeaway here. Like, I might have thought I was an idiot and maybe I made a genuine mistake or whatever it was that I was doing. Who knows? But I guess it's like not verbalizing it, not letting it
fester,
make me actually believe that I am an idiot. Yeah. Right. So I think there's like, I think it's interesting to talk about how to actually take those steps, and journaling, you would say, is one of the big ones.
And positive talk in the mirror. Like,
I just
had a breakup and it sucked, honestly, just like, because
breakups
suck.
Yeah. Like, it was so much fun.
Let's do that again. I probably will. But maybe not. I was like in the mirror, and it is hard to look at your eyes in the mirror and like, be with yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't think that anyone does that. A lot of people shower like in the dark, we've heard.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. You don't want to see yourself. Let's work on that, girls. But I was saying some sick shit to myself last week. And then I started saying, choose better. And to myself, like in the mirror, I was like, choose a better thought. And I just said that. And then I changed my thought in that moment. So sure, I might have said, well, that was stupid that I, you know, dated him for that long and he was not good enough or whatever. And then I was like, no, choose your thought better, Teddy. Like, okay, now you learned that's not the kind of guy you want to be with, you know? And it doesn't have to turn into this like magical positive thought, but choosing better, like not beating yourself up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. You
having
should be
grace
your
with
own
yourself.
Cheerleader. Yeah. That's what Sonia always says. Yeah. It's like, you're your own best friend.
Yeah.
So I would never be like, choose a better guy, you big loser.
Yeah.
I would never do that to you, but like, why would I do that to myself?
Yeah.
I'm stuck with me forever.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yep. I remember having like first time pregnancy after I had my son Idris, looking in the mirror and just like ripping my body apart, you know, just being naked and standing in front of the mirror and going like, fat here, you have stretch marks here, look at your ass, like you don't even have a fucking ass, like, you know, just, or it's too big or whatever, it's just one wall of body.
Right now, one rectangle.
Why did I feel that so hard right now?
You look great. Shut up. But I remember that. And I remember talking about it with some other mom friends. I actually talked about it with a woman that I used to work with who had 5 kids. And she looked at me And she looked at me, you know, and she was like, you need to look at your body with love. And she just kept saying that to me again and again, like a mantra.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit. And it gives me chills. And it was a little shift, I remember, but it was a shift. And then I tried so hard, and I still try. It's like you said, it is a lifelong, this whole self-love thing. It's not like, okay, got it. Right. I love myself forever, and I can never make a mistake. It is a lifelong conversation with yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a lifelong journey. And it was a shift. And second time around with my second baby, I had so much more grace with myself. I was so much more relaxed.
Cool. Why is it always a second? You know what's funny is I just came from a client shoot. So I'm a producer.
She's
also.
Busy.
I'm busy, guys. And I hadn't seen my clients because I had a baby 5 months ago, and I hadn't gone out on shoots and stuff because I gave myself more grace this time. And the first thing they all said to me was like, "Dang, you have lost so much weight. What are you doing?" And honestly, you guys, the thing I've been doing that's different is I gave myself a break.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's like when I was so stressed out about it after my first baby and I was working out really hard and I was trying to watch what I was eating, I was actually gaining weight. And there's something about that stress that you hold on to and everything and putting that pressure on yourself instead of just giving yourself some grace, that really, it's amazing how that happens to you. It's like it's doing the opposite to you instead of what you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Stress is a bitch.
That bitch.
Stress is a bitch.
We can call stress a bitch. Yeah. Don't call yourself a bitch.
Yes, right. Exactly. Right. Unless you want to be a bitch.
I mean, some people want to be a bitch.
That's a good exercise to do, like anyone listening. Like if you do catch yourself talking like bad about your body, just be like, oh, my hips. And then be like, stop and recognize that you did say something negative and then send love to your hips. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's something.
You have hips. Some you have hips. Don't have body parts.
I know.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You know,
but it's
that's
like
true.
Those hips let you birth your child. You know, and you just you be like, something earth. So simple, just be like, send love to your hips.
That, you know what I do? So I will acknowledge whenever I have something that I don't like about myself, right? I'll acknowledge it and then I basically mourn it. I just say like, okay, I'm going to give myself a second to like, you know, cry about the like not, you know, crazy abs I used to have, you know, because that was all I used to have. And so that's what I always used to tell myself. It's like, it was like always, I was like, I have the flattest abs and now I don't. And so what I do is whenever I have moments like that where I'm feeling bad about it, I let myself actually have that moment and I mourn it and then I say goodbye.
Goodbye, abs.
Goodbye. I like that.
Me too.
I say goodbye and then I'm okay with it. You know?
That's what I said to Sonia last week when I was crying about a guy that doesn't matter. I was like, I just need to cry.
Yeah.
And like be funky for a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, see you later. The next day I wake up and
it's like doing it with some intention, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm gonna acknowledge this. It's okay though to be a little bit sad about it that you don't have that, right? Whatever it is that you want, and then let it go.
Yeah, good tips. Journaling, self-love.
Yeah. I have a new room spray and it's called Let Go. And I spray it.
Let go.
It's like a fire extinguisher size.
Sometimes you need a big daddy.
But mantras are a powerful thing that girls are very capable of learning and doing with their families.
Yeah.
That's an I am statement, right? Mm-hmm. So I am powerful, I am strong, I am kind. Whatever you're working on.
Smart.
It becomes your thought pattern in your DNA. You start to believe it. It's like some girls, I feel like, are like facilitators. They don't make them repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. In their journal, every day there's a mantra. So it could be like, I am powerful or I accept change, all this stuff. And we just make the girls keep repeating it.
Yeah.
So then at the end of the 10 weeks, like, when they stand up and they like read one of their favorite pages in their journal, they're like proud to be like, I am powerful and like, you know, hear me roar. And it's just really amazing to like know that we're part of this like change in their development where they can and be proud of saying mantras
and
or
how their
believing
voice
it.
Changes in the 10 weeks too. The first week, it's really hard to say like, you know, I'm strong, you know.
You're right.
Or I'm good at art.
Because they don't believe it. But then at the end of 10 weeks, like anyone would. Going through a 10-week program, you would stand there and it's coming from your core, like your truth. And it sounds different. Your voice is stronger. There's no shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh.
And everyone's like, hell yeah. And supporting you.
Yeah. And everyone's comfortable enough to be like, you're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. When the first day everyone walks in with like their arms crossed and they're like a little nervous.
Right. It gives me chills. I got to say, I love what you guys are doing. And I want to take a second because I really liked what you said, how there's a lot of positive change from day one to day, from the last day to the last day. Can you guys give me some, can you guys brag and like give me some good stats about the positive changes you've made with the young girls in LA? And I want to hear some good news.
We've been asked back to every school and community center we've been in.
That's amazing.
And the group that I have today, I've had them since 2015.
Oh, wow.
And they sign up every semester. There's six girls. Yeah. And sometimes in the semester it'll be like nine, but like it's like the same six girls I've had since 2015.
It's very special.
And their parents are like, you are the reason why like being a girl and like believing that she can do anything she wants is ingrained in the person she's becoming. Like
all of this,
it's just amazing to know that like I've held these girls for so long, and at the same time, like I've changed too with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like, I got kind of sad because I was like, oh no, is this the last semester I'm going to be with you? Because they're growing up.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't go. Like, I don't want to start a new group, but I do. But it's just like really special to know that,
they choose you and their family chooses you. Like time and money goes to us from these families.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, we see value in that because we're seeing X, Y, and Z at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to me in the store. This lady I didn't know was just like gazing at me like you guys are right now, like in adoration.
We like you.
Thank you. And I was like, why is this lady looking at me like this? And then she's like, hey, do you do Girl Powerful? And I was like, yeah, that's me. And she's like, well, my daughter takes your class. I've never met you, because a lot of the times we'd never meet the parents because we're just in an after school program. She's like, you've changed her life. Like, you've changed her whole family. That she comes home and says these nice things at the dinner table. And it makes her little sister feel better. It makes her dad be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter, you know, used to feel really bad about herself. And now she's happy. About who she is, even though she is a little nugget and she is a weirdo and all the funny things about little girls too, like again, perfection doesn't exist,
right?
And this girl, there's a long road, but you can tell she's in, this is the second time, and it's just like she's a different person already.
What an amazing feeling.
I mean that's
so wonderful.
Thank you.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Good job.
Because it's not like a glamorous situation.
Right.
We go sit in after school classes with people.
Right.
And sometimes the girls don't want to be there, and that's the truth too. They're like, oh, can we like go play soccer? It's like, no, we're gonna talk about feelings.
Right. Yeah.
Have you heard of them? Yeah. You got about a million a day.
Yeah.
But one talks about them. So here we are to talk about them.
But then like you have the girl like I had last week that was like my moment of the week. Excuse me. Where we were making wish bead bracelets, so they got to write on rice paper like their wishes for the future and their goals. But she was like, can I go be separate? And I'm like, of course. So she went and she wrote this like whole thing of all about her family, and like she wanted to show me. So it was like, my parents aren't together, I really miss my dad, like all the stuff that I felt like if I hadn't been there last week, she wouldn't have had anyone to tell that to. Aww. You know. So I was like, it's important. That's why, like, we can't stop. So buy more journals because
we need to be supported.
We need to be supported. But we need to be there for girls and like really give them that vulnerability to be and like the trust to actually open up.
Yep.
Well, and that too, like, obviously, like, if some girl says, like, my mom was yelling at me in the car, like, I don't need to go tell her mom, like, stop yelling at her in the car. I don't do that. But if something does come up that's serious, it's like, that's a space that we can hear that and go share that with a teacher or a parent also.
Yeah.
And that's happened too, because I do one-on-one like confidence coaching for girls. And this mom had no idea that this girl was being bullied at school, like extreme bullying. And then we could put a stop to it, right? Mm-hmm. She could get more people involved at the school. But the daughter wasn't going to tell her mom that. Because of X, Y, and Z, I don't know why.
Right.
A million reasons. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Because she's her mom.
You're right.
Sometimes you don't want to tell your mom.
Right.
And just, it's hard to find that voice inside to say like, hey, I'm being hurt right now. Like, how do you do that? So we're trying to combat all these things and do the right thing. And
I wish we could clone you and have you at every school in America.
I appreciate that.
I know.
Now I that wanted to say something self-deprecating then. Oh, I started really?
Good. Good for you.
Stop that, Sonia. Stop that.
There were Sonias and Teddies everywhere.
Yeah. I wish that we could chat for like ever, because I feel like we could still touch on so many things, like healthy habits for social media for kids, and you know, how to like just really show up for girls in any way that we can, and what warning signs there are. But we don't have
we would love to have you come back. Is give a shout out to their social media.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we can post some tools there for everybody.
Will you guys let everybody know how and where they can connect with you?
Yes. So Instagram is Girl Powerful Project. TikTok, we just got verified.
Nice.
Girl Powerful Project. And then our website's girlpowerful.org.
Perfect. Okay. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Really appreciate it.